Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And you know our attitude on Monday is don't be too down. Kind of hard to be down on this Monday after the Saints won like they did, beating the Cowboys in Dallas. And I just loved it when they showed Jerry Jones and his Pillsbury Doughboy son sitting right next to him. That was just awesome. You know, I don't know, Jerry Jones has been so bombastic over the years that, you know, I kind of cheer for him to be disappointed. And so it was nice to see him disappointed yesterday. And then, you know, the Eagles play the Falcons tonight. So a lot of Saints fans are going to be watching that. Not only is it Monday Night Football, but the Eagles and the Falcons. And we need the Eagles to win that. And also, the Eagles are coming to town. They're going to have a short week. They're going to be here next Sunday in the Caesar Superdome against the Saints. So good news for the Saints that the Eagles are going to have a short week. I'm Scoot on the Air. Really glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. We're going to continue to talk about the Saints' victory, but we also have to talk about just another attempt on Donald Trump's life and all that goes along with that. I'm so thankful that nothing happened to Donald Trump, because that would be a worst-case scenario. And I agree with President Biden that there's no room for political violence. Oh, we're going to get into that this afternoon. But we've got some calls left over from last hour who want to talk about the Saints. Let's go to Frank on Long Island. Frank, welcome to the show.
Who dat?
Who dat is right.
How about those cowgirls?
Loved it. They lived up to their name.
I love that. Yeah, I stole that line from Hebert. I mean, the quarterback. But nevertheless, you stole my thunder, but which is understandable. I was going to ask you, but there's two things I love most about this. First of all, we were all dressed up, my son and I, at a local sports bar. It's about 200 people in the bar, all Jets and Giants fans. A couple of Cowboy fans sat behind us. Every time I got a field goal, they're yelling, "Who dat?" But nevertheless, people was so nice. My son kept getting up, playing the two songs, walking to New Orleans every halftime, and let the Saints come marching in. But there's two things I'm happy about. My buddy next to me said, "Frank, you won the game." It was the start of fourth quarter. I said, "Uh-uh." I said, "I know we're going to win the game. That's not what I'm worried about. I want to see them play to win this fourth quarter, not play to lose. They lost two games last year playing not to lose." Okay? And they did that. And, like you said, they actually tackled people. Yeah. Except for one play, they tackled people.
Yep.
And it was just, like, unbelievable. I text my son-in-law's father-in-law, because he lives in South Jersey. He's a major Eagle fan. I says, "Good luck tonight. Help us out by yourself, and also beating the dirty birds, because you're going to lose next week." He started cracking up. Everybody from New Orleans, all my buddies in New Orleans, my phone lit up. But you want to see something? Everybody's over 200 people in the place. They all came around us, patting us on the back.
Ah, cool.
My son, Nicholas. You know, special needs son. He had a replica shirt for Archie Manning that he bought at Manning's, and with the beads and everything else. And people are coming around. They're buying us shots.
Oh, cool.
The Writers' Shop, congratulating. It's a big family place. But I tell you, though, thank God, like you said, okay, they played not to, even though they're up all those points,
yeah,
they played not to lose, and they were tackling.
You know, those were two amazing things. Frank, thanks for listening on Long Island, New York. I appreciate the call. Yeah, the Saints kept going. I mean, they didn't get too conservative. And you and I have seen this in the past. It has changed. And I assume the catalyst is Clint Kubiak. He has changed Dennis Allen's focus. He has changed the attitude of the players. And he's done a lot to create a very creative offense that is confusing defenses. So far, long season to go. And at some point, the bubble may burst, but it's not going to take us long to blow it back up again. All right, also, let's mention, look, Tulane had a tough game against Oklahoma. I didn't expect them to win, and they didn't. But LSU won. LSU won. This was their SEC opener against South Carolina. I told you Friday I thought they'd have problems. They did have problems, but they ended up winning it with a score of 36-33. So, you know, LSU did it, and that's all that matters. Let's go to David in Biloxi. David, you're on WWL. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday. What a game.
It was amazing.
We flew out of Gulfport on Saturday. We was at the game, and I'm telling you, after the game, I actually felt sorry for the Cowboys, some of their fans, because they – one of them I talked to in the restaurant, he says, well, I don't know where we're going to go from here, you know. And I says, well, y'all get over it. It's one game. But, you know, Saints were a superior team, watching them before the game, practicing and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, warm-ups, they were serious. You could just tell. And it carried over in the game. And I want to say one thing, that Trevor Penning, they talk about him not being no good. I physically saw him physically push a couple of those Cowboy defensive players in the ground on some of them running plays. He was opening some big holes. It was just a great game. The best Saints game I've ever seen, and I've been watching them many years.
Hey,
it's the
David,
best I've ever seen play.
I'm glad you got to go. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Gregory Metairie. Hey, Gregory.
Hey, Scoot. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah.
Let me tell you, probably not the best Saints game I ever saw, but boy, oh boy, it's one for the books. I couldn't believe the way that they were playing the nickel, and then they would go to man-to-man, and they would come back over. I mean, let's give the defense a lot of credit here. The offense was incredible. We already know that. I mean, did you see the way Taysom Hill on offense blocked for all the running backs? I mean, it was just incredible. You know? He even got his wrist a little injured, I think. Is that what happened to him? I think something like that. He had to go to the hospital.
I haven't heard too much about that, but hopefully, you know, he's okay because we need him. But, yeah, I mean, this guy, he's out there, you know,
this was incredible,
blocking people.
Dude.
Yeah. It was so amazing.
I didn't know what I was watching. It was extremely amazing. I get to go to two games this year. I get to go next week to Philadelphia, and I get to go see them play the Dirty Birds because, you know, it's just very expensive. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, I want to fill that dome. If we can keep this going.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that means to the city of New Orleans? You and I know what it means to the city of New Orleans.
Yep.
I mean, to have these guys just blow it out. And as far as Tulane's concerned, they put up a noble effort,
They did.
Up against SC, man, I'm a season ticket holder at Tulane. I go to every home game. And I love those boys. And it's just wonderful being on campus. You ought to go to a game or two if you get a chance. But go Saints, go Saints. Thank you for having a great show, Scoot.
All right, Gregory, I appreciate you being one of our great listeners. You know, you wonder if the Saints all staying together at the Saints training facility during Hurricane Francine, if that brought about some unity, some togetherness. And to his credit, Mike Dettillier talked about this. When I had Mike on, when we were dealing with the hurricane, and Mike was on, and we talked about the disruption of the Saints' schedule, and he said, you know, it's not just going to be the coaches, but we need some leaders on the team to come forward. And apparently some have. And one of them seems to be Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, who had a great game yesterday. Yeah, missed a tackle. I made a note of that, but boy, he sure came back and had a really good game. And man, he was out there hitting people. I didn't see that much last year. And nobody should have been happy with the way the Saints played last year. And it just didn't seem like, here's what impresses me about Dennis Allen this year. And maybe I'm totally off here, but it seems like he's focusing more on defense than worrying about both. He's a defensive guy. And I think it's obvious that Pete Carmichael had gotten stale. And when you and I can pick out the plays, you know the other team can pick out the plays and figure out what's going to happen. You know, sometimes it's time for change. And there was certainly time for change there, obviously, because Clint Kubiak is doing a hell of a job. Now, again, these are the first two games of a season. You know, we could lose the rest of our games. I don't expect that to happen. But if you're a Saints fan, you've got every reason to be really excited about the way these two games have opened up the season. And the Saints are 2-0. And I think the Eagles are beatable. Any team in the NFL is beatable if the Saints keep playing the way they're playing. I mean, if they play the way they're playing, we can beat Kansas City. We can beat anybody. So let's be positive. And the Eagles are coming to town this week. Let's fill up the dome and let's be loud AF. And I think it's going to be loud. I don't know that the dome is going to be much louder than it's going to be this coming weekend. But we'll be talking more about that as the week goes on. Ian, let's do a couple of quick texts, and then when we come back, we do need to transition into the other big topic. And I'm not going to stop talking about the Saints' victory. We can still talk about that. But the other big story, and it's interesting that last week, the Saints' victory was somehow distracted by this storm in the Gulf that was going to become Hurricane Francine and hit us. And it did. This week, the Saints' big victory is distracted by another assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And I love that everybody wants to point fingers. Oh, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Look, it happened. And it shouldn't have happened. But it did, and it's quite a statement about where we are and who we are in America today. But let's do a couple of your text messages.
First, just make sure people know the latest about Taysom Hill. He has been released from the hospital. He went in there with a chest injury. I'm not sure exactly what the specifics are on there. The people at the hospital in Dallas said it's not overly serious. They're not overly concerned about it, but he's out now. We'll hear more about that probably sometime, maybe later this evening or tomorrow, I'd guess. But he's okay. If you're worried about Taysom, I wouldn't be worried about Taysom.
Good.
Here's a text that says, people like myself that listen to these Saints games weekly aren't all surprised that Deuce called that play before it happened. He's such a wealth of football knowledge.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, it's also interesting that, you know, the offensive coordinator saw the same thing. But, you know, Deuce saw it in advance and called it, and that's exactly what happened. You know, you've got a rookie on somebody like Rashid Shaheed. Man, you take advantage of that, and Clint Kubiak called up that play. And but here's the other thing. Not only are the plays called up, but the team is executing. They're executing the plays. And give credit to Derek Carr and the receivers. They're catching it, but Derek Carr is putting the ball right there. Derek Carr, you know, I didn't have faith in Derek Carr last season. But toward the end of the season, and I kept saying, if Derek Carr can begin, and Bobby was saying this too, if Derek Carr can begin the new season the way he's ending this season, we're going to be in good shape. And it seems like that's what's happening. Let's hope it keeps going.
Here's a text that says, how about our cocky ex-coach Sean Payton? Not so good of an offensive coach without Drew Brees.
Interesting. If Sean Payton doesn't win games as coach of the Denver Broncos, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. I'm sorry for my friends and family back in Colorado who have to watch their team suck all the time. But, you know, it's your turn.
Yeah.
You know, when I was still living there back in the late 90s, we got two Super Bowls in a row, and it was really fun. And, you know, that was great. Those days are over, and now, you know, you had your Peyton Manning moment as well. You know, you'll be fine. Give it another 5
years. But you know, Sean Payton was supposed to go there and just, create this great winner again. He still has time to do it. It's still early in his coaching history with the Broncos, and maybe he does it. But again, from, you know, the way Sean Payton left New Orleans, if he doesn't win many games in Denver, I'm okay with that.
Okay!
Here's a text that says, I must admit that when the fourth quarter started with a 22-point Saints lead, I was a little apprehensive. That's only three touchdowns, and I've seen the Saints allow three touchdowns in 2 minutes. The Saints only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter, but the Cowboys scored 0 points. I love it when the Saints can end a game in the victory formation instead of blowing it in the last 10 seconds.
Because we've all seen it. We've seen it too many times. They get up a big lead, and then they get conservative, and they blow it. Well, I don't think Clint Kubiak is going to allow that to happen. And maybe between Sean Payton and Dennis Allen, maybe that happened before. It's like, well, let's hang on to this lead. You know, we've seen other coaches do it as well. But, man, if you don't keep playing with the same intensity that got you ahead, then you put yourself in a position to lose. All right, let's get to a break. When we come back, we have to talk about the other big breaking news over the weekend. Somebody else apparently was trying to kill former President Donald Trump. And fortunately, he failed. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. And I love how everybody is pointing fingers at who's to blame for the assassination attempt. Yeah, you know, I had some recurring dreams over the weekend about dealing with politics on the show and on social media. And it's just appalling how divided we are. It's appalling how quick people are to want to blame something or somebody for something. It's just, it's amazing how misinformation leads to problems. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. And even though there's some criticism, we do the best we can every afternoon to clear up a lot of that misinformation. And we'll continue to do that coming up. I'm Scoot on the Air on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, I'm glad this person that had a second chance. I mean, a second chance to assassinate the president and the former president, and it failed. President Biden is decrying the apparent attempt on Donald Trump's life, saying there's no room in America for political violence.
President Biden is calling out the attempted assassination attempt against Donald Trump, saying there's no room for political violence in America. The president says the nation's already suffered too many tragedies from an assassin's bullet.
It solves nothing and just tears the country apart. We must do everything we can to prevent it and never give it any oxygen.
His remarks in Philadelphia came after Trump, without evidence, blamed the president and Kamala Harris for inspiring the apparent attempt on his life, telling Fox News Digital the suspect bought into their rhetoric, blaming Trump as a threat to democracy. Sagar Magani, Washington.
You know, that's something we have to talk about. Do you think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are to blame for this? I mean, I think it's important for us to kind of shut down the blame game because it's not doing anybody any good. And it's only fueling the rhetoric that might be leading to these assassination attempts. Here's what it sounded like when authorities apprehended the would-be assassin.
Driver, take two steps to your right. Take two steps to your right. Driver, walk straight back.
We don't mention the names of shooters on this show. It's just a policy that I wanted to create because even if they die, I don't want to give them what they wanted, which quite often is notoriety, even in death. I don't want to give them that, even though they're not here to understand it. But especially for those who live, I don't want to mention their names because sometimes people do this for notoriety. Kamala Harris is continuing to try to move her campaign away from identity politics, courting black voters without making her own identity part of the pitch.
The Democratic presidential nominee vowed to continue the fight for democracy at a gala in Washington this weekend, hosted by the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. Addressing members of the Congressional Black Caucus.
I truly believe that America is ready to turn the page on the politics of division and hate.
Vice President Kamala Harris says as president, she would work to build a strong middle-class economy and protect freedoms, like the right to vote and reproductive choice. She says another 4 years of Donald Trump would threaten the gains made in the Biden administration.
We have a vision of a future where every person has the opportunity not just to get by, but to get ahead.
Tuesday, she'll meet with members of the National Association of Black Journalists in Philadelphia. Thursday, she rallies online with Oprah Winfrey. I'm Jackie Quinn.
You know, I just don't see how it's fair, other than being cathartic to those who want to do it, to blame anything other than the individual for something like an assassination attempt happening. Now, there's a lot of ridiculous information that comes from Donald Trump, but that's no reason to try to take him out. And there is more than one conversation going on about something deep and dark behind these two attempts. So it's something that people want us to pay attention to. We'll talk about that later. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, who is a Republican, was asked on ABC this week, yesterday, if there's any truth to the pet-eating conspiracy theory of J.D. Vance and Donald Trump.
No, absolutely not. That's what the mayor said. That's what the chief of police has said. I think it's unfortunate that this came up.
So why do so many people believe it? DeWine is also stressed that Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, who are legal immigrants, they're legal immigrants. He's concerned about them. And Springfield has actually welcomed them to their city.
These Haitians came in to work for these companies. What the companies tell us is that they are very good workers. They're very happy to have them there. And frankly, that's helped the economy.
So why should people be upset if a city welcomes people in? Why should people be upset if there are people in that city? And why should Trump and J.D. Vance make it seem like they're illegal immigrants? They're legal immigrants in our country. But that's not the impression you get when Trump and J.D. Vance talk about it. And J.D. Vance is not letting go of the lie. Here's what he said on NBC's Meet the Press. And by the way, on CNN this weekend, J.D. Vance also appeared. And J.D. Vance admitted on CNN that he created the story to get attention from the media because the media was paying too much attention to Kamala Harris. J.D. Vance admitted he made up the story. So why are some of you so intent on believing this? And why do you post crap on the SOTA Facebook page concerning this? J.D. Vance admitted he made it up. It's not true. So here's J.D. Vance not letting the lie go on NBC's Meet the Press.
I have heard firsthand from multiple constituents, people who made 911 calls a month ago, a year ago, who were making these complaints. I trust my constituents more than I do the American media that has shown no interest in what's happened in Springfield until we started sharing cat memes on the internet, which is disgraceful.
Cat memes. Do you know what people do with memes on social media? They have fun with them. But this weekend on CNN, J.D. Vance, on Meet the Press, on NBC, he's pushing the lie. Donald Trump is pushing the lie. J.D. Vance admitted this weekend on CNN he created it. He made it up to get attention. He made it up to bash legal immigrants because that's what he's doing. So I don't understand why you can't vote for... I don't understand why people can't just vote for Trump. Why do they have to believe this and push the lies? I don't care if people vote for Trump. What bothers me most about all of this is the willingness to believe a lie just because Trump told you that. You don't know Trump. You don't know him. You don't know J.D. Vance. And apparently there are a lot of people who wanted Trump to pick somebody other than J.D. Vance, but his kids, Donald Trump listened to his kids. Pick J.D. Vance. His kids don't have a concept of reaching beyond the base, which Donald Trump needs to do. So in the face of J.D. Vance admitting he made up the story, in the face of one official after another saying it's not true and there's no evidence... Look, J.D. Vance wants to, okay, that's a slick line. I believe my constituents more than I believe the media. Let's remember that a lot of constituents are making things up because they want them to be true. You can't trust constituents. There are right-wing radicals. There are left-wing radicals that are constituents, but they don't have anybody's best interest at heart except their own. And so somebody's going to make up a story about having evidence, and you're going to believe it? But there's no evidence to this whole pet-eating thing. And these Haitians, again, are legal immigrants, and they were invited by the city of Springfield to do work for these countries. I mean, these companies in this country. So this is what's bothersome to me. And then for a few people to have trolled the post about, just the fun post about Taylor Swift that I posted over the weekend, the Saints post-game analysis after the big victory over the Cowboys, for people to invade that with bogus stuff about Trump and pet-eating stuff, I mean, if that's what you believe, keep that to yourself or wait for me to do a post about that and then bring it up there. But don't troll a post on social media that's not even about that. It really just shows how desperate you are. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And hey, we're not going to stop talking about the Saints and that big victory over the Cowboys yesterday. How good did that feel? Here are the Top Cats. Hey, Saints fans. And man, can you imagine the excitement before the game this weekend when the Eagles come to town? I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1979, this song, Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang, was released for the first time. It is known as the first rap song to ever hit the top 100. You know, there are arguments about what was the first rap song, but I think there's a good argument that this was the first rap song, at least to hit the charts, Rapper's Delight. I still remember that old woman singing it in Wedding Singer with Adam Sandler. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is a Manic Monday. We're talking about the Saints' big victory yesterday. We're also talking about a topic that's just unavoidable this afternoon after it happened yesterday. Another apparent attempt on Donald Trump's life and then the blame game that follows. Let's go to Bogalusa. Murray, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm good, Murray.
It's Maurice.
Oh, Maurice, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm an avid listener, and I want to say, who that?
Oh, man. How awesome was that win?
Oh, man, it was great. It was great. My signal went out here, so I couldn't really watch it, so I put it on the Odyssey app. But I listened on WWE on the station right here. But what I want to say is this a political stunt going on with the Trump attempt assassination to get votes?
I don't think so. I know that there are people asking that question, especially now that there is a very timely second attempt that happened at a time when the Donald Trump campaign is looking for ways to steal the attention back away from Kamala Harris. But I don't think this is a publicity stunt. If we find out information that leads us to believe that it is, we'll talk about that at the time. But I can't imagine this being a coordinated publicity stunt, even though it does seem to be happening at just the right time in the past and then again now. This guy seemed really calm. Donald Trump seems really calm about the whole thing, but I don't believe this is a publicity stunt.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence. That's all I was saying, you know.
Yeah, I agree, Maurice. I'm glad you called. Elon Musk, the billionaire owner of X, formerly Twitter, put out a very controversial tweet yesterday that he has now removed, and because he got really widespread backlash from social media over this, he asked the question: why are there no assassination attempts against Vice President Kamala Harris or Joe Biden? Why are they not the target of assassination attempts? And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm not saying that Donald Trump deserves this, because he doesn't. Nobody deserves an assassination attempt. But Donald Trump says things that are not true that rile up a lot of people. There's a reporter, Mark Caputo, and he is raising questions about the possibility of dark forces being behind this. He says, leading up to this, the former president had been subject to some critical coverage in the news media for stoking some conspiracy theories about the first attempt. And now that the second one came along, it's going to be hard to convince him that there's not some deeper dark force at work. And, you know, look, that's something that the government needs to investigate. Is there a deeper force here? Is there a reason that a couple of people now have targeted Donald Trump? And this reporter points out that the suspect of the assassination attempt moved from North Carolina to Hawaii in the 2010s. He learned about he decided to do this when he was living in North Carolina. So how did he find out that Donald Trump was playing golf that day? Because Trump's schedule was not public. It was not even made public to the media. So how did he know to travel from North Carolina down to the golf course in South Florida? How did he know the president was going to be there playing golf? So that's a question. And he apparently stayed in the bush for 12 hours. And I guess he was prepared to stay there as long as he needed to. The Secret Service ultimately did its job. Michael Wilner, he is writing in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, immediately questioned a column that is titled, K can Secret Service even protect Donald Trump? And this reporter went on to say, we have increased the amount of assets we have supported. We live in dangerous times. And I personally think that after the first attempt, there should be a lot more Secret Service around Donald Trump. Now, if Donald Trump was president, there would be more Secret Service around him, and the golf course would have essentially been shut off. But because he's a former president, the golf course was not closed off. So maybe because of these two assassination attempts, maybe Donald Trump needs to be treated like he's the president. I mean, if there's a way to ramp up security to make sure that nobody gets to him, I mean, Donald Trump has the freedom to say what he's saying. And our country needs to protect him. Now, I don't think anybody, I mean, people have a right to lie. I don't think anybody should lie. I don't think anybody should make stuff up. And we know that that has happened. But even if Donald Trump makes things up or supports lies or conspiracy theories, that's no reason to assassinate him. And so, you know, this is a tough time. And Senator Lindsey Graham, one of Trump's really closest allies, says that the Secret Service needs to do a better job. The Secret Service did a good job, but he's suggesting that the Secret Service move from under the Department of Homeland Security and move back to the Department of Treasury, where it could have more focus and it would have more resources. So I don't know. Maybe that's something to consider. But whatever it takes, a candidate running for president needs to be protected regardless of what he says. But this is not the fault of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I mean, you're free to believe that if you want to, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence to support that idea. Not that everybody needs evidence to support an idea. But I think this is the work of crazed individuals who are personally so upset, and they personalize politics so much that they can't stand Donald Trump to the point where they don't want him to be here. But that should never be an excuse. And the Secret Service needs to do a better job supporting him. All right, somebody on Facebook, somebody posted a picture on my Facebook page of a ticket from this day in 1964. On this day in 1964, the ticket cost $5. On this day in 1964, the Beatles performed at City Park Stadium. And this was the height of Beatlemania. The Beatles arrived in America in February, and here in September, they were at City Park Stadium. And all kinds of great stories about the Beatles being here. They stayed at a place called Congress Inn out on Chef Highway, which is no longer there. And they stayed there because that was the only place where they could land a helicopter at the time. And they needed a helicopter to get the Beatles from the hotel to the stadium. Some of you were actually there. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2004, the coroner's report came out on the death of Rick James. At the time of his death, Rick James had 9 drugs in his system. Cocaine, meth, Valium, and Vicodin. You know, that's not a good combination. I mean, what you do the coke, and it's like, that's not enough. All right, give me the meth. That's not enough. I'm feeling kind of hyper. All right, give me the Valium. Calms you down a little too much. I don't know. I think I need a little bit more. Give me the Vicodin. I mean, you know, really, I mean, you can't put that stuff in your body and expect to live. I'm sorry he's gone, but you can't do that. All right, much more still to come on this Manic Monday. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1979, this song Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang was released for the first time. It is known as the first rap song to ever hit the top 100. You know, there are arguments about what was the first rap song, but I think there's a good argument that this was the first rap song, at least to hit the charts, Rapper's Delight. I still remember that old woman singing it in Wedding Singer with Adam Sandler. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is a Manic Monday. We're talking about the Saints' big victory yesterday. We're also talking about a topic that's just unavoidable this afternoon after it happened yesterday. Another apparent attempt on Donald Trump's life and then the blame game that follows. Let's go to Bogalusa. Murray, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm good, Murray.
It's Maurice.
Oh, Maurice, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm an avid listener, and I want to say, who that?
Oh, man. How awesome was that win?
Oh, man, it was great. It was great. My signal went out here, so I couldn't really watch it, so I put it on the Odyssey app. But I listened on WWE on the station right here. But what I want to say is this a political stunt going on with the Trump attempt assassination to get votes?
I don't think so. I know that there are people asking that question, especially now that there is a very timely second attempt that happened at a time when the Donald Trump campaign is looking for ways to steal the attention back away from Kamala Harris. But I don't think this is a publicity stunt. If we find out information that leads us to believe that it is, we'll talk about that at the time. But I can't imagine this being a coordinated publicity stunt, even though it does seem to be happening at just the right time in the past and then again now. This guy seemed really calm. Donald Trump seems really calm about the whole thing. But I don't believe this is a publicity stunt.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence. That's all I was saying, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Maurice, I'm glad you called. Elon Musk, the billionaire owner of X, formerly Twitter, put out a very controversial tweet yesterday that he has now removed. And because he got really widespread backlash from social media over this, he asked the question, why are there no assassination attempts against Vice President Kamala Harris or Joe Biden? Why are they not the target of assassination attempts? And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm not saying that Donald Trump deserves this, because he doesn't. Nobody deserves an assassination attempt. But Donald Trump says things that are not true, that rile up a lot of people. There's a reporter, Mark Caputo, and he is raising questions about the possibility of dark forces being behind this. He says, leading up to this, the former president had been subject to some critical coverage in the news media for stoking some conspiracy theories about the first attempt, and now that the second one came along, it's going to be hard to convince him that there's not some deeper, dark force at work. And, you know, look, that's something that the government needs to investigate. Is there a deeper force here? Is there a reason that a couple of people now have targeted Donald Trump? And this reporter points out that the suspect of the assassination attempt moved from North Carolina to Hawaii in the 2010s. He learned about he decided to do this when he was living in North Carolina. So how did he find out that Donald Trump was playing golf that day? Because Trump's schedule was not public. It was not even made public to the media. So how did he know to travel from North Carolina down to the golf course in South Florida? How did he know the president was going to be there playing golf? So that's a question. And he apparently stayed in the bush for 12 hours. And I guess he was prepared to stay there as long as he needed to. The Secret Service ultimately did its job. Michael Wilner, he is writing in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, immediately questioned a column that is titled, "Can Secret Service Even Protect Donald Trump?" And this reporter went on to say, we have increased the amount of assets we have supported. We live in dangerous times. And I personally think that after the first attempt, there should be a lot more Secret Service around Donald Trump. Now, if Donald Trump was president, there would be more Secret Service around him, and the golf course would have essentially been shut off. But because he's a former president, the golf course was not closed off. So maybe because of these two assassination attempts, maybe Donald Trump needs to be treated like he's the president. I mean, if there's a way to ramp up security to make sure that nobody gets to him, I mean, Donald Trump has the freedom to say what he's saying, and our country needs to protect him. Now, I don't think anybody, I mean, people have a right to lie. I don't think anybody should lie. I don't think anybody should make stuff up. And we know that that has happened. But even if Donald Trump makes things up or supports lies or conspiracy theories, that's no reason to assassinate him. And so, you know, this is a tough time. And Senator Lindsey Graham, one of Trump's really closest allies, says that the Secret Service needs to do a better job. The Secret Service did a good job, but he's suggesting that the Secret Service move from under the Department of Homeland Security and move back to the Department of Treasury, where it could have more focus and it would have more resources. So I don't know, maybe that's something to consider. But whatever it takes, a candidate running for president needs to be protected regardless of what he says. But this is not the fault of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I mean, you're free to believe that if you want to, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence to support that idea. Not that everybody needs evidence to support an idea. But I think this is the work of crazed individuals who are personally so upset, and they personalize politics so much that they can't stand Donald Trump to the point where they don't want him to be here. But that should never be an excuse. And the Secret Service needs to do a better job supporting him. All right, somebody on Facebook, somebody posted a picture on my Facebook page of a ticket from this day in 1964. On this day in 1964, the ticket cost $5. On this day in 1964, the Beatles performed at City Park Stadium. And this was the height of Beatlemania. The Beatles arrived in America in February, and here in September, they were at City Park Stadium. And all kinds of great stories about the Beatles being here. They stayed at a place called Congress Inn out on Chef Highway, which is no longer there. And they stayed there because that was the only place where they could land a helicopter at the time. And they needed a helicopter to get the Beatles from the hotel to the stadium. Some of you were actually there. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2004, the coroner's report came out on the death of Rick James. At the time of his death, Rick James had 9 drugs in his system. Cocaine, meth, Valium, and Vicodin. You know, that's not a good combination. I mean, you do the coke, and it's like, that's not enough. All right, give me the meth. That's not enough. I'm feeling kind of hyper. All right, give me the Valium. Calms you down a little too much. I don't know. I think I need a little bit more. Give me the Vicodin. I mean, you know, really, I mean, you can't put that stuff in your body and expect to live. I'm sorry he's gone, but you can't do that. All right, much more still to come on this Manic Monday.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.